I hope all, oh, wow. We okay? I don't think any of us would say anything different than what Reggie said just a little bit here ago about there is something special that's going on in the spirit right now. Something really, really special going on. Everything that's taken place, to just feel the Spirit of God, whether it was words being spoken, what was prayed was so heartfelt, like Reggie had mentioned, and even with movements and just looking at people, I was looking at the people that were serving in the communion, and I really had to hold back, just bawling, just looking at them in service to God. You know, it's something really, I don't know what it is, but this was beautiful. What?
You're not the only one.
Yeah, I know. It was very, very special. And I guess everybody, lots of people had already been saying, I was looking around, I was looking at the people that were serving, and then I just kind of glanced around a little bit where I could. And I was just thinking how thankful I am to God for what He did on the cross. And thankful for the people that we have to enjoy the Lord with. Isn't it? Do you feel that? You must feel that way, right? It's so great. All right, well, there was a point while the group was praying over me where I was saying to myself, I hope it doesn't go too long in the prayer, because I had to get my handkerchief. I thought I was just going to start kind of up. So please hurry up, finish this prayer, because I need to get my... And then I said, well, the heck with it, I want to hear the prayer. I'm just going to get it out anyway, you know. So, all right, enough of that, huh?
Can I just
use
your shirt?
No,
I hope you don't mind.
Oh, that's from back here. The message is, you're going to hear a bunch of stuff first before we even get to any kind of scripture. So just bear with me with that. I usually like to start off with a scripture, but I'm not going to do that. Again, as usual, the words to songs, things that were said, what Lainey brought out about the joy jar, joy jug, just everything. I want to talk today. I'm going to read a few things, which I don't normally do, and I made a little list of something that. So the front part of this is going over some things. I'm going to start with a definition of something. Okay. This is, I'm going to give you the definition, and then I'll see if you know what the word is. It's the state of mental or emotional strain or tension that's caused by circumstances. You know what that is?
Anxiety.
That's a good word, anxiety. What?
Fear.
Stress.
That's the definition of stress. Stress. Okay? When we get in a state of mental or emotional strain, or there's tension, okay? I wrote down my own definition of stress. Wound too tight.
Yeah.
You know, when somebody says that they're on edge, that usually means there's some stress going on in their life. And I've been thinking about this and the Lord putting his finger on some things in my life. And I know that the times that we're in, there's lots of stress. And there's stress that comes from all different kinds of ways. In fact, there's two different kinds of stress. I did a little research here. There's firsthand stress, okay? Firsthand stress is where you want something and you don't get it. That creates a stress. It creates a tension, right? Another thing that happens with firsthand stress is something that where you made a personal choice and it's created some tension. For example, money that should have gone into your savings account to pay for a particular bill or something was used to buy something else. And now you've got to deal with the stress of knowing how to pay for that, right? So sometimes the decisions we make, the choices that we make, can create a tension in your in our lives, right? This is a firsthand stress. You are responsible, right? You're the one that's responsible for the stress that's in your life. And there's also secondhand stress. And secondhand stress is defined this way. The mental state or emotional state of tension resulting from someone else's behavior. That's secondhand stress. See, not only do we get stress in our life because of our own choices, our own wants that don't get fulfilled, and that creates tension. But there's the second tension that comes when somebody else's behavior affects you.
I have a perfect example. We did not have water this morning. Oh. And she was very happy. And he worked all night. So I told Whitney, you go wake up your father. We need water. And that's the nice way of putting it.
And that was
Dad, you didn't wake up, Dad. He just puts the covers over his head.
Puts his covers over his head.
We don't have to do water.
Yeah.
No, I need you.
I'm sure that you did.
And he had fresh muffins too. So baked.
Yeah. Yes. This happens. Have you ever said to someone that's giving you stress, "You're stressing me out"? Kids can do that to you. Your spouse can do that to you. Friends can do that to you. Will you stop doing that? You're stressing me out. It's a secondhand stress. And as I was thinking about this, I thought, you know what? We're stressed out people. We're stressed on all kinds of levels and all kinds of intensities. I mean, we deal with stress more than we realize that we do. It's amazing. The other thing that I noticed was that.
Well, if somebody's, I'll just use this as an example. Now I might be stressed about something, and I'm taking out my stress.
My stress, my behavior made you stressful, right? And stress can be very contagious.
this can happen where, you know, you're, I'll give you a personal example. Kathy and I are watching TV. This is a popular example that I've been using lately. We're watching TV. Kathy's all calm. She can handle the input. I'm listening to the input, and I start to get a little stressed. And then my stress turns into, oh, let's call it anger. And I say something, okay? And there's anger in my voice. And there's intensity in my spirit. And Kathy has said to me numerous times, Malcolm, why don't you just get up and leave the room? But so before any of this happens, I want to know what's going on. So I stay there. And she said this to me numerous times. So the other day, I get mad at someone who's speaking on the TV. Yeah. And I'm mad, and I stood up, and I stood just like this, and I pointed at the TV, at that person, and I said something to the TV. And boy, was I mad. And Kathy, because of my stress, got stressed out because I continually am doing this. And so Kathy gets mad at me. She gets angry with me. When are you going to stop doing this, Malcolm? I am tired of you getting angry at the TV. And then I say, no, then that gets me a little more angry. And I say, I'm not mad at the TV. I'm mad at the person that I'm looking at in the TV. Right? So, stress, tension can be contagious. And you can, your tension, your stress can infect other people around you. Right?
So that's important to know. And what this, what the message is for us, we need to be aware of the fact that we're so
wrapped in the stress of this life and the stress of this time that we need to be aware so that this stress doesn't take a hold of us and cause us to do things that we shouldn't. Right?
I'm gonna just mention to you
here,
Malcolm.
Yeah, go ahead.
Malcolm did that one time at a VA center.
What?
That? He pointed at the TV and said, "That's not true. That's not the truth." And I got stressed out because I thought they were gonna lock him up.
Yeah, that's right. We were at the VA. That's right.
CNN. That's all we'll say.
Yeah. And I responded, and there were people around, and she was concerned about what was going to happen to me. Yeah.
It's just, it's funny, because I just finished up that book, Gods at War. And in that, it was talking about, it's a very convicting book. If anybody wants to read it, read it. It'll kill you. It'll tear you apart.
Yeah.
It's good.
Good commentary.
Good hearing, right? Convicting, just, you know, waking you up a little bit. And in that, and there was a lot of talk about how we let other people influence how we feel. And when we're doing that, we're putting that person in front of God as an idol. And so we really need to, when we feel like somebody is influencing how we feel, we need to look towards God more and put Him back in our first position. And when we don't do that, let's say it's our spouse or somebody like that, that's irritating us or whatever, then when we get affected by that and we allow it to affect us, then we're putting that person above God at that moment. So it's very important, and this week it really changed my outlook on things because I read that, and it's true.
Yes,
it makes a difference.
Yeah, it really
but it's so hard not to react to that. But every time, I think when somebody else, and it happens all the time, your friends, it can happen at work, it can happen with whoever you're working with, anything like that can happen. But I think if we change our mindset and we say, I'm not going to let that person influence me like that, because God is more important. I'm going to focus on God, which is all good.
Yeah.
Then we don't let that negativity of the person come into our lives as much. Goes right along with what you said.
Absolutely. And this whole thing about, I'll just say it now, I was going to say it toward the end of it, but this infection in the negative side, we hopefully are going to infect people with the positive, with light.
Yes.
Infect people with the positive thing that God's doing. But you see, and I think it was mentioned, somebody was saying, you gotta be there first yourself. If you're down in the dumps, you're not gonna bring somebody out of the darkness. Because you're in the darkness.
Right.
You can't bring somebody out if you're still there yourself. You understand that? And we've talked about we are coming to the end of an age, and people are looking for people of light, people that do have an actual solid foundation in Christ. And if we do, then there's something that where we've turned our attention to God. God is number one. We're doing the things and thinking the way that we need to think so that we can be that light in a dark place. And God needs people to be that way. And there's going to be people that are not going to be infected with... I think it was Crystal. With the stinking thinking. I thought that was so apropos to what I was going to say today, because we, in times of stress, this is where we fall in our human nature, is to have stinking thinking. Down in the dumps, poor me, discouraged, don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. Everything's going to fall down and be destroyed. And you're praying for that person over there who doesn't know the Lord, and it doesn't look like they're ever going to accept Christ. And you know, you can throw your hands up and say, "Oh, what's the use?" And I mean, there's so many things where the stress of this life, the stress of you wanting that person to be saved and you not seeing it happen, can bring you down.
Yes, it
can. There's stress there, isn't there? There's tension. There's tension when there's a battle of wills, isn't there? There's a tension going on. Yeah.
There is anxiety and there is panic attacks.
Yeah, I'm going to go right down this list here. That's true. Very, very true.
Anxiety can lead to panic attacks.
Yes.
And we have no idea why, but it happens. And it happened to me when I was in the hospital to have my wrist operated on. They were going to do a nerve block, and they had given me a bunch of pills, and one of them was codeine. And then later on, they gave me another half of codeine, and it did no good whatsoever.
Sent you over the edge.
Mm-hmm. Didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Just, I went into a panic attack.
Yeah.
And they had to put me out in order to do the operation. So, it's just an example.
This is happens to me all the time. I have all them things you just said. But we have a person called the Holy Spirit. And immediately, in his case, and I shouldn't be saying this about my minister, but in his case, he was irritated. He should have let it go immediately, instantly let it go, because right. 2 seconds later, Satan is there saying,
yep, that's right.
And 2 seconds later, Satan is there, ah, ah, ah. And 2 seconds later, he's throwing a brick at the TV.
I've never gone that far.
You felt like it, though, because
yes, I have. Go in there, go brush your teeth, or do something.
That's exactly right, Bob.
No, I'm not going there, because in the meantime, what he did, he sinned against his wife. He got her all upset. So you need to, way back in the beginning, say no. Hit your thumb with a hammer. No.
Don't go there.
I'm not going to say those words. And you got to catch it right in the beginning, and it will go away. But the more it gets, it could go on for 3 or 4 days. They could fight for a week over it. And it all comes from Satan. God can't live in your soul and Satan in your soul at the same time. And when Satan gets his mouth going and gets you upset, God moves away. He can't put up with that. He wants to live with Satan. Let him live with Satan. When he wants me, I'll come back. And really, I've had an awful lot of stress in my life. For no reason at all. Lack of faith. It all comes back to lack of faith. It's my fault. It's not everybody else's fault. It's not your fault. It's not ever his fault. It's my own fault. Because I didn't have the faith.
I was going to get down to this thing about how the enemy of our souls, Satan, enhances that. The enemy of our souls is looking for us to open that door because he knows how to push those buttons to make it even worse for us, doesn't he? I wrote down here, here are some things for you to check to see if you might be moving in stress, okay? Here's, and you guys probably can think of some other ones. I have a short little list here, but outbursts that don't fit the circumstance. Honey, would you pass the salt? Why do I always have to pass the salt? Can't you get it? There's something going on beyond what the circumstance is. Yeah. You see that if you see yourself responding, or if you have that response that comes toward you, you know that there's stress.
Now, why say this? Just so that we understand this?
Well, yeah, we need some understanding. But like Bob mentioned, we need to right away recognize and then deal with it right away. So it doesn't become something that just goes on and on and on so that you're fighting for 3 days about something. Right? This is really important for us in a practical, everyday, living the Christ-like life that we need to be aware of. And stress is at the bottom of a lot of it. And the enemy uses that stress to create big wedges between husbands and wives and between co-workers and whatever. Heather, you want to say something?
Malcolm, I'm sick to death thinking that I'm going to have to leave during this. So is this being recorded?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. I just wanted to say that it can sound so easy to, we all know in somewhere in our brain that we need to just stop and say, okay, I'm not going to get upset at the TV. But we're humans, so we're going to get upset on the TV. We're going to take out our anger on our husband or our wife at times. But something that's really, really helped me is when I get so upset and I know I'm about to say something I shouldn't say to my husband or to my grandmother, or the two that usually get it, or my kids, is I stand up when I start to feel that anger, and I say, I bang on the table and I say, get behind me, Satan. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, it's just, it is shocking. Sometimes even go and say, you have no place here. Lord, come into me, help me. You know, they're all kind of looking at me like I'm absolutely mad, which I probably am at that point. But that's why I have to cry out to God right then.
I think this is so important, Heather, because we all, like what you just said, we all know this. We all know that we shouldn't be doing certain things, and that we're going to end up, even after we know something, we're going to end up reacting this the same way again. But we, the more that we're aware, and the more that we say, you know, I am not, I am a new creature in Christ. Remember last week's lesson? I'm a new creature in Christ. I am not caught in that. And yeah, I'll stumble and fall, but I have a direction I am going in, and we need practical things that get us out. And if it's standing up and hitting the table, if it's saying something, speaking to the spirit that's there to try to enhance that feeling in you, something. We've got to break off that thing that so easily just pulls us into that all the time. We've got to break the cycle of that. And if we want to, it might take a little bit of time, but we'll find a way to get through it. We'll find a way to get through that. God will help us. You know? Somebody was saying, what's that?
You have to remember to cry out.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, somebody was saying, oh, it's on the way up, Ronnie and Lee. We have to understand, number one, that for any of this to happen, we have to cry out to God for the grace.
That's right.
To be able to do it, right? It'll be through His strength. It's going to be through His understanding and His mind about how things go. But there's a second step to it. We have to take action on it. And that was said earlier today. You know, you have this knowledge of truth, but you have to act on that truth. You have to act on it for there to be the connection for the power that's going to come. God just doesn't do it. He's the one that has the power to do it, and He's pouring it out on all of us. But for that to make the connection, we've got to step out in faith. We've got to be people of action. Well, I'm going to do something about that, like with Heather. I'm standing up, and I'm going to do something. I'm going to change the steps that are taken that always drives me down that wrong road. I'm going to change that. Maybe it'll only work once or twice, and then I'm going to have to find some other way. But I am going to change that, and you and I have to be determined to be people of light. We are new creatures in Christ. Aren't we?
Yes.
Because that's what the word of truth says about us. Right?
Yes.
We're children of the light. We're not children of the darkness.
Malcolm, I have a quick little card. So, college is expected, the financial aid form to be filled out. So, Sadie, in all her infinite wisdom, didn't tell me that there were these great meetings for parents on helping to fill out these FAFSA forms. Mm-hmm. She thought, because of her Indian heritage, which we're very thankful, that because she gets free tuition being a registered Passamaquoddy, that we didn't have to fill those out. We have to fill those out. So I'm behind the eight ball. And
you're not stressed about it, though.
Oh, I'm so stressed. So I'm trying to find out from everybody, and they were due Friday online. Saturday that they had to be in. I didn't even have my W-2s. So Dartmouth is very late in sending me. So my W-2 comes Wednesday and Thursday. And so I'm frantically, you have to get your taxes done. I start getting in a panic, and I'm mad at her, and I'm mad. And I'm like, okay, I got to just say a prayer because I need to get in to get my taxes done. So before I call Beausejour, I'm like, Lord, please let me get in tomorrow, because if I don't get in tomorrow, there's no way I can get these taxes done. So long story short, he took me in like five different time slots on Friday, whichever worked for me. And then Saturday, I'm overwhelmed because I filled one out for Megan years ago, but I'm overwhelmed having to do this. Well, I find in this folder that she actually brought home, step by step by step, and I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. So yes, I was up till 9 o'clock Friday night, but had I not prayed, I was ready to kill her. I was ready to kill Dartmouth. I was just like, I can't believe I have to do all this. Yeah.
That's what stress does.
Yeah. Yeah.
It does. And you know, we went, well, what's the big deal? No, it is a big deal because it really frames your life for that day, that week, that month,
and her
that
future,
year.
There's a deadline.
Right, and you see all of this and the pressure that's there that comes to bear. Here's some other things. So outbursts that don't fit the circumstance. Long-lasting anxiety, worry. That's a big problem with me, and I've told you that before. Anger. Lots of times, anger is related to the stress of something. A racing mind. This is what Bev was talking about. You know? Have you woke up in the middle of the night with a panic attack? Or your mind is just, you can't sleep because all these thoughts are going around in your mind? Well, what are those thoughts, you know, spinning around in your mind like that for? Because you are dealing with stress. Something that you put on the back burner that you've tucked away because there's just too much of it and you need to get on with your life, and it gets put back there and it spins around in the back of your brain. And then it comes out when you relax.
Yeah.
Oh, this brain is now relaxing a little bit. It's not dealing with the daily things of life. I'm now going to pop out there and start working on in that brain. You know, that's what happens, and it's because of stress a lot. And if we don't even realize that that's what it is, we can't address the situation.
Yes, you spoke about waking up in the middle of the night with a, you know, panic attack because of all these things going on in your mind. Well, several times I've been able to just call in the Lord to take it away, and he has. But because of the medications and stuff that they were giving me in the hospital, I was ready to leave. I was ready to tear the bed apart and leave. I just couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's when they decided, well, I guess we better do something else.
Not good enough.
Yeah.
I was
going to
say, I know with me, I mean, I don't have anybody to fight with
at
the house, so.
But it's good to have somebody to fight with sometimes.
Yeah. I just can't sit still. I can't focus on anything, and I'm pacing and stuff. And then I usually have to get on my knees and say, God, what's going on in my head? What am I afraid of? What am I not dealing with?
Yes. Yeah.
And usually that'll bring it, because you just throw things over there. You don't look back to see what's there. And it does come in, and I have, you know. So that's what helps me a lot, is just ask God, what is bothering me? And I don't think of it.
It's important to stop the rush. Slow it down. I'm going to talk about that in just a little bit. Here's some other things I wrote down. Irritability. Sometimes I notice that, why am I so irritated about that? You know? Well, there's some stress that's working there somewhere. Now, not all the time. This isn't a panacea for all of these different things. But stress, you know, fatigue. Mm-hmm. You can be tired a lot, and there's a thing of stress that's involved with that. That's making you really overtired. I saw this on the internet. Stress. So I have an excuse.
Malcolm, you're stressing your out.
I am. It's contagious. You know, talking about stress can be stressful. Well, I'm going to get to why we have to be more than just normal people about these things. Listen to this. Forgetfulness.
Yes.
Stress in your life can make you forget easier.
What's going on?
Yeah, Joe?
I think that's a good thing, though.
Yeah.
But stress can be a good thing too. Yeah, but we're focused on that so we can get to the positive.
Okay. I have something kind of funny to say. My lovely dad can be a little forgetful sometimes, and he had to go out and work on the skidder, and he has, I think this is maybe his third set of Carhartt bibs that we bought him. Because he happens to forget where he puts them, and then they disappear. He comes out, and he's wearing my Carhartt bibs. It was so tight.
You thought you gained some weight, didn't you?
I'm like, Dad, those are mine. How are you fitting into those?
Thank goodness, huh? Okay. Here's one thing that I want us all to be careful about, so that you as a parent, especially with kids, but this can apply to anything. You know how being really, really busy, job, mostly job stuff, but maybe it's house things or whatever, that busyness that causes stress can create a lack of communication. In other words, child comes up, Daddy, could you help me do this? Or they're talking to you, and you go, I don't have time right now. I got too much to do. Yeah. Right? You understand? And we want to be careful about the stress thing where we don't talk to people. We need to be aware if there's a need, a ministry that needs to be done at that time. Because sometimes you have a lot to do, and children need to learn not to demand all your attention. But on the other hand, there's times where that child needs your attention, and you're just too busy because of stress. And you want to become aware of that. Okay? All right. Stress can do something to your physical body. Your muscles get tight, can even cramp up from tightness, right? You can have digestive problems because of stress, you know? And lots of times, people go to the doctor, and the doctor gives you pills to take. And then those pills have side effects. And then those side effects are worse than what you had started out with. And, you know, you have all this stuff that you're dealing with, and really it's just learning how to deal with some stress sometimes. You know? But this is what happens to us.
Isn't that right? Okay. I'm now going to go into the Word. I know I told you it was going to be long before we got to the Word. All right, Philippians chapter 4. It says this, verse 6. Be careful, and in this case the word means anxious or don't worry. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. Now, here are the things that... this is just a reminder. You and I know this. But it's like God is trying to remind us. I don't know if something's coming up where there's going to be more stress happening in our life. But we need to be reminded of it. Don't you find that happens a lot on Sundays? That God gets us ready ahead of time by giving us a word so that we're equipped for what has to take place in our life. It says here, to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, isn't that the opposite of stress?
Yes.
The peace of God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, You ever get, you're all anxious about something, you're stressed about something, and you pray, and this peace just comes over you, and there's no, you should be upset, but you're not. It's that peace that passes understanding, right? And the peace that passes all understanding, it says, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And then in verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, and this is this positive thing, and we've got to train our minds. We've got to get through this thing about not listening to the negative. It might be true that what is going through your mind that is negative might be very, very true. It's happening. This is what is going on. But that we don't focus on where that can take you, but that you pray and you supplicate before the Lord for the Lord to change and turn something to good. It's not that some magic wand happens and now everything is so totally different. No, you might still have to walk through certain things. But God's going to give you the grace to see the light at the end of the tunnel. If you indeed will allow him to. But isn't that what we have to do? So it's this positive thing. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, and what would be true? What the Word says. The promises that God has. What's out in store for us in the future. The joy that's set before us, right? And he's coming again. And those things can help us through the time. He gives us wisdom. He does all these things. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue or any praise, think on those things. We've got to get out of that negative thoughts. We have to. Because those things really bring you down. Did you have your hand up, Steve?
Yeah, I got a call from a friend of mine the other day who was in a complete tizzy about something that was on Facebook. And he actually was going to go to the police about it.
Oh boy.
And he wanted me to give him some advice and everything. And so I said, well, maybe we need to just kind of calm down a little bit and look at the big picture.
Yes.
And that didn't happen from his perspective. Mine it did. But the next day, it was found out that thing that was put on Facebook was done as a joke.
Uh huh.
But they responded in a, it's a real thing. Instead of looking into it and, whatsoever things are true, they just assumed that this person was telling the truth, and they put everybody in a tizzy, and then all of a sudden it was a joke.
Yeah.
So in the end, it meant nothing. But at that point in time, it was crazy. So you do have to, look at it and see.
We just need to be reminded of these things.
Don't overreact.
Yes. Let's be reminded. All right, go ahead, Chris.
I have some words of encouragement. If you think of the word self-inflicted and a different aspect, sometimes we enjoy anger or the results of the drama of the anger. We have lust is too big a word for that. But I'll give you an illustration. Years ago, and I'm sure some of us are old enough here, that we probably grew up or were young enough to watch Ed Sullivan. And I can tell you this story, and some of you have heard this from me in other aspects, but he was always considered the straight man on his show. And you probably remember him, he's very somber, he'd stand out there. And one particular episode that came back maybe once every year, a man would walk out on the stage, and he would be choking himself. He'd be turning beet red, unable to breathe. Can we relate to that? But he's choking himself,
right?
Not saying a word. So Ed Sullivan, in his typical fashion, would say to him, well, why are you choking yourself? So he'd remove his hands from his throat, and he would say, because it feels good when I let go.
Yeah. that's gonna come back to all of us over the next few days, and we're gonna be laughing and smiling about that. Yeah, that is so true. That is so true. Let me read you these things so that we can talk about this last part. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding." And as much as we believe that and want that, we rely on our own understanding so much. And isn't, you know, all that we're talking about with a people of vision, people who of understanding, right? Where we see things the way God sees it. And this is the direction we're going in, and yet we tend to see things by our own analysis and trust that analysis a lot without going to God the way we need to. So aren't we all caught in that? We really are. And it says here, it says in verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." That's a very famous scripture, a scripture used a lot. But just to be reminded of that very fact that, hey, don't put, you know, sometimes if you're very analytical, I can be very analytical about things, and I said, well, if this and this and this and this are true, then that and that and that is what's going to happen. And you can sit there and analyze it, and there's a certain aspect where you need to do that. But I can't trust my own understanding. If I do that without going to God and making sure that this is correct, I have my own understanding about a situation, and that's not a good thing. Is that good for you? To have your own understanding about something? We think it is, but it isn't. It's important that we have His understanding about things, and we really need to be careful that we don't get caught up in that. And so this trusting in the Lord is really important. And then this last piece here, it says, Psalm 18, verse 2, "The Lord is my rock, the Lord is my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." And, you know, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is higher. And that's important for us to keep falling back on and falling back on and falling back on in our life when we're in that stressful kind of situation. Hold it. God is in control.
Yes.
He is in control in my life. And you got to believe that, because that's what's going to give you the strength. I'm going to get to the end of it here. Just remember something. Just remember this. I have not been the one who's been talking all this time. Lots of you have been saying things. And so when Joe puts that the sermon was 75 minutes long, it's not just me. Just remember that. I want to make sure that I say this before, and maybe the Lord will close it down with this, I don't know. But since stress has something to do, has effect on your physical body, I think it's very important as Christian men and women, and I'm not the paragon of example here to this. You know, we need to, when you're going through some stress, don't you find that you are almost automatically, take a deep breath. Do you know how good that feels? It's a proven fact. Physically, you're releasing tension in your muscles when you do that. I would encourage us to do those physical kinds of things that help relieve that kind of stress, the tension that you have.
I've been doing that lately.
Yeah. Yeah, see? Yeah, see, there's stress there.
Yeah.
There's stress, and you don't even, we don't even realize we're carrying stress sometimes. We think we're okay. Our mind says we're okay, but our muscles hold the tension. Our muscles are engaged with our brain and our thinking, and lots of times tension is put into our physical muscles. So we need to breathe. Sometimes just stretching, getting up and moving around sometimes, taking a walk. You ever do that? You ever get mad? And you go, I'm going for a walk.
Yep.
You know? And I've done this a couple times. And I...
It makes you feel better. It works.
No, they're laughing because they know it's more than a couple. You know, you walk faster, right? You walk faster, or even if you're not, you get a chance to just kind of let that go because there's tension in your muscles as well as your brain, right? It's important that we do that kind of stuff as Christian people. That's how we're going to get rid of some of this stuff. Otherwise, it's going to have a big effect, okay?
Malcolm, you're not a dog lover, but if you have a dog... A dog is smarter than man when it comes to that, because when a dog is ready to go to sleep, most dogs take a big deep breath.
Fresh.
Yeah.
And then they go to sleep.
Exercise. Couldn't we all use a little more exercise in our life? Maybe not some of you, but you know, Chris, you get enough exercise. But couldn't we use a little bit more of that? Because exercise, really, what's the term, Steve or Reggie? And is it endorphins? Is that the word?
Yes.
And what it does is it makes you feel good, right? Endorphins, you feel better about yourself.
Chocolate does the same thing, though.
but it doesn't lower your cortisol level.
Which is very important.
Cortisol also builds up when you're stressed out.
That's right.
And that's what you want to decrease.
Ill.
So that's what
right.
You're physically ill.
Chocolate will make you gain weight and give you stress.
Like you would know.
I think it's getting a little out of hand. All right, Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, laughter will do it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to get to that. That's on my list here. Laughter, I forgot, I wrote the scripture down. Where did I put it? Laughter is a good medicine, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it says that in the scripture, and that's important to be able to laugh at yourself sometimes, laugh at a situation, or get around people that are just funny. You know, if you're stressed out, go talk to Joe for a few minutes.
I do.
I've seen on
Vine
all the
Facebook
and stuff,
and
they actually have groups that get together. Laugh sessions. They just look at each other in a circle and they start pointing and just laughing, and it's so contagious that you can't stop, and then some people fall down out of it. I mean, just watching it online, you can't help to break out.
You start laughing or smile at least. Yeah, you know, that's true. Very true. And so this kind of thing where we change just our physical being by exercising, changing the course of the way we're thinking about stuff, really trusting in the Lord, and going in that direction on a much more consistent basis. This is what will help to bring lots of people out of the darkness that they're in. All of this isn't just for us. This is for the people that are going to need someone to be an example to, right? Don't you really get drawn to people that are up in a bad situation?
Yes.
Yeah, we need a lot of that. Crystal.
Malcolm, I was going to share about my sister Becky. She has been so helpful to me in my life, where the stress happened in our family a lot. Not too much. When stress happened, I would call her and I would cry, and she would say, "Crit, you gotta find that place of peace.
Yeah.
And stay there."
Yep.
And it's a conscious effort.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah, conscious effort to find that place of peace in the Word, on your knees, you know, wherever that is, and stay there. And it takes work.
Yeah. Wait, and when you get...
Mind is a playground, and you want to go back to where the trouble was and try to fix it.
Right.
You can't fix it, so you go to that place of peace. And she, I'll tell you, I thank God for her. She has helped me so much. She reminds me pretty, not even often anymore, because I know.
I'm going to close with this. Do you believe me? Trust me. Ron's over there. There's no power to react to that. I want to say, you know, all of these things that we've gone through our life with, and maybe haven't been so great at dealing with the stress of life, but we're learning, and we need to grow in that. I'm not going to finish it.
No, because it might make some of you get a little down.
It's not intended to make you go that way, but some of you would take it that way.
Now, can I find worshiping or listening to worship music?
Yes.
Praising worship.
Really, really helps.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is so, so important.
Like just getting in my car, if I've had a bad day or something stressing, putting in the right CDs and, you know, listening to worship music.
Makes a difference.
Yeah.
I, on my computer at home, I have a worship songs, and I just plug into that and just listen to the songs that are going to minister to my soul. There's so much other things we could talk about, but we're not going to go there. So, Lord, I ask you for all of us, myself, all the children here, the young people, the older people. Lord, we're all yours. We're your saints. We're called out. We're here for a purpose that's beyond just ourselves. And Lord, I pray that you would bless us to be people of peace, where the stress of this life is not going to hold us in wrong places, Lord, but that we would find that place of trust and peace and love that's in you, that we might be a light unto this dark world. And as things continue to get worse, Lord, that we would just be people that could handle all these things that are coming upon this world, because we've truly reached into you on these things. Bless us, Lord, to be men and women of peace. Stress, though it comes, Lord, would be put to the side because we trust in you. In Jesus' name. Amen.